Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show tonight. And I hope everybody had a great 4th of July yesterday, and everybody's safe and sound. And thank you for joining us. And before I actually introduce my guest for tonight, I just wanted to let you know, if you have any question for us tonight, or you wanted to ask a question, my guest, please feel free to call in 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. Well, good evening again, and let me welcome my guest for tonight, Adam Sisinski from IQ from Australia. Good evening, or good morning, Adam.
Yes, it's a good morning for me, and I guess it's a good evening for you. So yes. Thank you for having me, Magdalena. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, you are welcome. I'm so excited, actually, to have you here tonight. And I love our topic for tonight, which will be the power of visual thinking, how to think visually and to help solve problems, to make better decisions, and to communicate ideas for more optimal and more memorable ways. What I really like about Adam, remember when I actually contacted you first time and asked you, you know, would you be willing to be a guest on my show? And you said, well, Magdalena, how we will do this?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's visual thinking. We're talking about visual thinking, and we're not talking about the kind of visual thinking where you imagine something in your mind. It's more so visualizing things on paper. And so this is a radio show, and visualizing things on paper requires maybe a bit of video. So it's it's a little bit of a different sort of complicated process, but I think we can do it.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, I just wanted to actually let our listener know a little about your background. You are actually a life coach, and you are also a mind map developer. But what is very interesting, you are using a little different way of, using maps and different principles in the, you know, visual thinking. And you also actually developed over 300 self-growth mind maps that you are called IQ matrices, and been used actually by over thousands of people around the world for the life coaching purpose or self-coaching purposes. So they are practically unlocking the roadmap for personal development. And you also teach people or help people to learn how to think visually. So what I really like about that is that with that process for the, for the personal growth and self-improvement, that actually helps people to have much more fun with that and be effective and engaging. And that's exactly what you were talking about right now. You know, it's not just kind of look like a normal visual thinking, you know. So Adam, before we actually start with the interview and, you know, what is, you know, mind mapping and how do you do and all this stuff, you know, I would actually like to know how you get involved. So let our listener know what actually motivated you to start with the mind mapping.
Well, I guess mind mapping for me sort of started with my struggles at school, and I kind of struggled with kind of learning and remembering. Like, I was always a hard worker, and I would always like read a lot of material. I would overstudy things, but then my memory of that material was just wasn't that great for the amount of study that I did, and I kind of struggled in high school. But I did get through high school, which was fine after a lot of work. And then I went to university and I studied business marketing to begin with there. And what happened in that situation is I went into the library and I came across a book, and it was like a mind mapping book. And I thought, mind, maybe it's got something to do with learning, right? And so I went in there and I pulled out this book, and it was written by Tony Buzan. And Tony Buzan is like the father of mind mapping. And there he describes this concept, this interesting concept that I've never heard of before. And it was like, you create mind maps to help you to learn information, to accelerate your learning and memory and recall of that information. But I wonder, what is a mind map? And he described it as it's a map that kind of you can use to sort of visualize what you are learning in a way that sort of mimics the brain and how the brain thinks and everything like that. So I thought, wow, this is interesting. So I looked into it more and I read the whole book, and then I started to create my own mind map. So in lectures, when students go to lectures, normally they'll go in and they'll bring their notebook and they'll write out linear notes. And, you know, just linear notes, which is just from top down sort of wrote notes, listening to the lecture. And there I would bring, instead of my notebook, I would bring a large A3 sheet of paper and I would create a mind map listening to the lecture. And everyone was obviously looking at me. It's very strange. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is weird. But, you know, I was probably the most popular person in the lecture who wasn't a lecturer. And so I got a lot of eyes on me, and some people eventually, you know, grew on them, and they started creating their own mind maps as well. Not a lot of people. Some people sort of resisted the concept. But what I was able to do in that process by just being there is I actually pre-prepared the mind maps before I went into a lecture. So I would actually read the lecture, the text that we were actually asked to read for that specific lecture. So I would prepare the mind map. I would create a central topic. So in a mind map, so if we can kind of visualize what a mind map sort of looks like. So we have a central topic in the middle. Like, this central topic can be represented by words, or it can be represented by a picture. So you can draw a picture in the middle of a page. So imagine a blank page and you draw a picture, or say the word overcoming procrastination, say in the middle. So this is the topic about overcoming procrastination. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, each of these, this visual image or words in the middle now have to have extended branches. So now we extend branches from the middle. These are called sort of subtopics. So we have a subtopic. So how to, why do I procrastinate, or strategies for moving past procrastination. That could be another sort of topic that we could sort of expand from there. And then we expand further branches from those subtopics to sub-subtopics. And then we kind of keep expanding to minimize, to sort of more finite sort of details about each topic the further we move from the center of the actual map. So what mind maps do from that perspective is that they help us gain a comprehensive overview of the entire topic. And linear notes kind of don't do that very well, because when you're reading linear notes, you're kind of reading it line by line, line by line. But when you actually look at a mind map, yes, you can read different sections of a mind map and, you know, you're focusing on small details. But the great thing about a mind map is that once you've actually completed it, you actually put it up on your wall and you see the big picture overview of how everything interconnects, how this idea is connected with that idea. And now what that does is that suddenly things start to make sense. You start to see how everything's interconnected, and you start to understand that topic at a much deeper level. And obviously, if you want to go into details, you just, you know, focus on different bits and pieces of the actual map. And the great thing about that is this, the mind map structure mirrors how the brain thinks. So all the neurons that you have in your brain, they're interconnected, like sort of very much like a mind map. And when we develop new habits, we form new neural pathways in the brain, and that helps us to develop these habits. And that's what mind maps do. It helps us to interconnect bits and pieces of information to help us understand that information far more effectively. And I guess. Returning to your original question, how it all got me started. Well, this whole journey of mind mapping, sort of one thing led to the next. I started my life coaching, and in order to get an understanding of what I was actually doing and what I was studying when I was undertaking my life coaching accreditation, I actually turned everything into a mind map. And then that was pretty much my insecurity. So I actually did it because I was insecure about the fact that I wouldn't know how to life coach someone if I didn't actually have mind maps in place to help guide me.
That's so good.
Yeah. So I was there. I had to create these mind maps to give me more confidence in what I was doing, So I was religiously like creating these maps about different topics that I thought would be helpful to clients. And as I was initially coaching, I started out coaching, I would hand out these mind maps to clients, and it kind of grew from there. And IQ Matrix kind of evolved from that sort of process, because people were actually enjoying these mind maps so much that I thought, okay, well, why don't I create mind maps that are more sort of refined, that are more sort of graphical, and that you could sort of put on your wall and sort of work through them. And so that's how IQ Matrix evolved.
Well, you know what is amazing? You know, as I was preparing myself for your material, I was reading a sentence that says, look, like it's having an entire library of knowledge on a single sheet of paper. That's pretty amazing to me.
Oh,
and it
yeah,
also becomes visual. That's the fascinating aspect to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think every map is about a topic. So it's about a topic. Like I mentioned procrastination before, like when it comes to IQ Matrix, it's like we've got one about goal setting. We've got about how overcoming stress, overcoming all sorts of different emotions, how to overcome failure, how to learn from a mistake. I mean, all these topics, there are over 300 different type of personal development topics there. And it's kind of like a book. Like instead of reading a book, like you could go over a book, and you've read books before, Magdalena, about personal development topics. And,
oh, yes,
and,
trust me.
And tell me, what have you taken from each book that you've read? What's the process that you sort of went through in taking that information out, like the main ideas from there?
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes it can be that I'm reading the entire book and there will be maybe only 10 sentences that are new to me, and I'm just taking those 10 sentences.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Well, that's pretty much what a mind map is about, because it's about taking out the most important concepts and ideas about that topic and presenting it in a visual way. Because a lot of the book that you read is just, you're not going to use a lot of that material, but you're going to use maybe 5%, maybe 2% of that material in the book, which is actionable for you. And that's what a mind map can do really well. You place that actionable material, you organize it in a way that helps you understand that topic, and you've got that as a visual form of a reminder to help you get through the day or help you work through a certain problem that you're working through in your life. So yeah, that's exactly.
You know what is
does.
Fascinating to me about that, Adam, that what I was recognizing, because we will also talk about, you know, you have also the free course that you are giving away, people can sign up. What I've recognized, what became fascinating, is that when you are reading, what I'm recognizing now, the difference between creating maps and reading, you're much more involved when you're doing a visual thinking, when you're creating maps, because you have to think at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. I think it kind of goes back to sort of when we touch upon sort of visual thinking, maybe in a little while, kind of, because mind mapping for me, it started out with mind mapping, but in a lot of ways, it's now all about visual thinking, and mind mapping has just become one part of visual thinking. It's a big part of visual thinking for me personally, but it's just one part of the visual thinking process, so to speak. And I think when we look at the brain and overall, we have the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. The left hemisphere of the brain is the logical side. So it's the logical side that thinks in it loves words, it loves sort of numbers and it's just very logical. While the right side is the creative side, loves pictures, color, loves rhythm, loves all these other sort of things. And we learn most effectively when we engage the whole brain. And I think that's what the school system maybe isn't doing to a great extent, maybe not everywhere, but to a large extent, the school system is teaching kids, obviously, the three fundamentals of reading, writing, and arithmetic. But there's probably a missing picture there, which is visual thinking, because we're not stimulating imagination enough. And when we create mind maps, when we engage the brain in visual thinking, what we do is we stimulate imagination. We engage both sides of the brain.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's when we learn most effectively, because we're engaging the whole brain in the process of learning.
So what are the actually, what would you say, what are the core principles for visual thinking, Adam?
Well, in terms of visual thinking, I think the key for us is we have to, well, if we start with doodling, let's start with doodling. So visual thinking starts with understanding and feeling, I guess, comfortable with doodling, because a lot of people, like, I have a free course that I run, that I created. It's called the 40-day doodle course, and it's absolutely free. You get lessons every day for 40
Yeah, I
days,
signed
and
up, so but I'm a little behind.
that's okay. That's okay. It's a self-paced course, so you can work through it at your own pace.
But
And
it's fun, I have to say that.
yeah, absolutely. And we've had, I mean, I've had thousands of submissions from people submitting their work, and it's just amazing just to see the variety of ways that people doodle different things for all the different lessons. It's just fantastic. And I guess the biggest thing when we start with doodling is doodling is the first part of learning how to think visually. If you can get comfortable with doodling, you can get comfortable with actually putting your pen onto paper and visualizing something, then that helps flow, visual thinking flow. And the key to doodling is to understand the visual alphabet. Now, we all know of the regular alphabet, the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? So that's the regular English alphabet, but the visual alphabet is a little bit different. It was created initially by Dave Gray, who was also like a visual thinker, and he created alphabet based on 12 shapes. So these 12 shapes, they include closed shapes and open shapes. These 12 shapes are an oval. So the closed shapes are oval, an eye, a triangle, a rectangle, like a house sort of shape, and a blob. And then we've got the open shapes, which is a dot, a line, an angle, an arc, a spiral, and a loop. Now, with a regular alphabet, we connect letters together to form words, and then we use words to write down sentences, right? And then we can use that to tell a story. This visual alphabet works the same way. Using just these shapes, you can actually draw or doodle anything you want. Absolutely anything you want using these shapes. So let's try something. For all the people at home, let's try something with them right now. If you look around you right now, you might be sitting in a room, maybe in your car or something, listening to this. Look around you and have a look at something. Let's say we're sitting in a room and we see a bin, or we see a sofa, or we see a television. Now, have a look at that, whatever you're looking at, and don't see it as a television. Don't see it as a sofa. Look at the shapes that make up that television, that make up that sofa. What do you see there? If we have a television, for instance, do you see a rectangle there? Do you see any lines? Do you see any angles? Can you break it down into the simplest form and shape possible? Obviously, it's kind of a combination of shapes, because if you can recognize those shapes there within your environment, within different things, then what happens is you can doodle anything, because all you have to do now is you have to take those shapes and put them down on paper. And then you're starting the visual thinking process. So that's effectively how it sort of works and how it begins. And then once people start feeling comfortable with visualizing things on paper in this way, that's when they can just move into visual thinking and start solving problems visually. And that's, I guess, the sort of the next stage after they feel comfortable with the act of doodling and everything like that. And visual thinking is a great way to sort of solve problems. And one way that this works extremely well is because what happens is, Magdalena, you've obviously had problems that in life that you've needed to solve, correct? Right?
Yeah, I
And
still
I
do
guess,
have.
yeah. No, I mean, we all have problems, right? I mean,
Exactly.
life is just an avalanche of eternal problems. They keep coming at us again and
Hey,
again, and
ever
it's
since we are
about,
still alive, man.
yeah, it's all about us just trying to solve and work through these problems effectively. And visual thinking does that extremely well, because no longer are you actually thinking about what you're trying to solve, because when we're in our head trying to think about something, trying to solve a problem, what happens is everything's kind of airy-fairy in there. We can't really lock anything away. Yes, we can think things through, but until you actually get that those ideas out of your head and put them down on paper, that's when they start to become real. That's when they start to become
that was
something.
What's so amazing to me, Adam, when I was reading, you know, when you say, where you say it's look like you're taking your idea on the paper.
Yeah, it's just because what happens is when you take your ideas, your thoughts out of your head and put them down on paper, mm-hmm. what you can do is you can start to explore them. You can modify them. You can expand them. You can reevaluate them, and you can reimagine them. You can do a lot of different things because you've now visualized what was in your head on paper. It looks different. And
totally.
I mean, if we,
exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And if we look at the history of I guess visual sort of thinking of how people have visualized information in the past. I mean, we can go back to the caveman times, obviously, when cave people they drew or doodled, you could say, on cave walls, right? They doodled their experiences of how they experienced the world on cave walls. But then if we move through time, we've got the ancient Egyptians who created a visual language of hieroglyphics in order, and that was quite interesting because that was the first kind of a language that actually used symbols to help. You know, every symbol mm-hmm. had a meaning, so there was no misinterpretation of what something meant. Like with cavemen, we might misinterpret what they wrote on their cave walls, but with hieroglyphics, there was specific ideas behind every hieroglyph. And then if we move further through time, we get great thinkers through time, like Leonardo da Vinci, for instance. Leonardo, everyone would be familiar with Leonardo da Vinci to some extent, I guess, and he was one of the most avid and influential visual thinkers of all time. I mean, he carried a notebook with him everywhere he went, and he would capture ideas, he would capture his thoughts, he would capture his understanding of how he understood people, how he understood the world around him. And then he would bring that down onto a piece of paper and then reshape, remold, restructure that idea until he created something that made sense to him. And I guess he solved problems. Then you got other scientists, scientific minds like Charles Darwin, like Isaac Newton, like Nikola Tesla, Thomas Edison. All of these scientific sort of minds, all these great thinkers, they visualized their problems on paper, and they worked through their problems on paper. I guess humanity's problems, you could say, to some extent. Mm-hmm. But then people might be thinking, okay, but they're scientists. They do this for a living. Of course, they have to visualize. They run experiments. They have to visualize their problems, right? And yeah, of course, they're scientists. They have problems. We have problems as well, don't we? So if they visualize humanity's problems on paper and helped to work through those problems effectively, then wouldn't it help our measly problems to put them down on paper as well and maybe work through them as well in a visual way? You know, it's kind of... Yeah,
you know, Adam, this is so amazing to me. Remember when I wrote to you in that first email, and I said to you, my first idea, what came to me, it was that would be unbelievable beneficial with people with Alzheimer's and children with ADD. And you said, well, I don't have experience. So I said, I understand that. But guess what? If somebody can grasp that idea that these people can actually be, you know, expressing them visually, that would be amazing. And it doesn't have to be always a problem to solve. You know what I'm saying? It could be used in so many different ideas. And this is why it's so you know, this whole concept is so fascinating to me.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, I mean, in terms of students, I mean, if we look at just students learning at school, and mm-hmm. there are a certain percentage of students who just struggle. They have difficulty concentrating. They feel
exactly.
bored. There's just a lack of creativity in that because their brain's just not engaged. There's no stimulation there to get things moving for them. And visual thinking actually provides them with a means to stimulate that imagination and to get them thinking about what they are learning in a different way. And I guess maybe this is a good point to sort of bring up a few doodle studies that were actually done.
Thank
Is
you.
that okay too?
Yes.
Talk about it? Okay, well
Yes,
there
yes.
were actually three studies in particular that were conducted over the last few years, and they actually kind of explain and explore how the doodle and visual thinking is actually quite effective. So I'll break it down into so I'll give each of these studies a name. So the
Please.
first study we'll discuss is the listening doodle study. The second study is I'll call the science doodle study, and the third study the funky font study. So with the listening doodle study, researcher Jackie Andrade, she was from Plymouth University in southern England. She wanted to find out if the memory and recall of doodlers was better or worse than non-doodlers. So what she did was she took 40 participants. She divided them up into two groups of 20. She had a control group and she had an experimental group. And what she did was she got them to listen to a pre-recorded voicemail message inviting these people to a 21st birthday party. Now, within this message, the person who was in the voicemail message gave him all these details about the party and also gave him the names of people who were actually attending. What she instructed the participants to do is to listen to this voicemail message and to write down the names of the people who were attending the party. But the experimental group had one additional task. They were tasked to actually shade circles and squares on a sheet of paper while they were listening to the message. Quite interesting, quite strange, they probably thought. I don't know. They might have thought a lot of different things. What is she doing? Okay, well, then at the end of this, what she did was she gave him a pop quiz. So they listened to the message. Both groups received a quiz about what they had remembered from the actual voicemail message. What she found afterwards was that the group that had shaded in the circles and the squares, the experimental group had 29% better recall of everything within the voicemail message. Control group, which was quite amazing. But why? Why was that the case? Well, she actually noted that the fact that they were shading in circles and squares, which is kind of like the process of doodling, helped keep them focused and centered and mindful of the moment. While the control group who wasn't doing that, their mind was wandering. So what happened here is that doodling actually helped these people to stay focused and present on what they were actually kind of listening to or learning at the time. And I guess that's the biggest takeaway from that study. So then we have obviously the second doodle study, which is the science doodle study. This study was conducted by three researchers, Vaughan Prain, Sharon Ainsworth, and Russell Teitler. And they wanted to just quickly just find out how visualizing what students were learning would actually help them in terms of remembering and recalling information. So they specifically focus on science students. And these science students would just typically normally just go through the text, they'll read their text and make notes or whatever it was. So they asked them, do what you normally do and take these notes as you normally would, read the text. But after you finish taking these notes, after you finish reading the text, we want you to visualize what you just learned on a sheet of paper. And so these students would spend time visualizing what they actually learned on a sheet of paper. They would just, provide as many or as little details as possible. And what they found from this study was that once students actually visualized what they were learning, they found they had accelerated ability to learn that information, they had a deeper learning experience, they had improved reasoning, they had a better retention, and overall, and probably most importantly, learning had become more enjoyable and fun, and they were more engaged because their whole brain was sort of engaged in the process. And I guess
That's
the biggest,
it, Adam. That's it. Yes.
yeah, absolutely. And the biggest, I guess, takeaway from this is that they concluded that drawing should complement other activities such as writing and talking, but not replace them. So they're not saying just doodle, just visualize what you're learning. No. incorporate visual thinking elements as part of what you're doing, as part of what you're learning, as part of the information that you're sort of going through. That's the best way to do it. So they suggest to read, to write, to talk, to draw. That's the best way that you'll get the whole brain involved in the process of learning. And that's, I guess, the biggest takeaway from that science doodle study. And then we have the funky font study, which was another quite an interesting study. It was conducted by researcher Demon Yauman and his research team. And what he wanted to figure out was something very interesting that I would never have thought of. But obviously, he did a lot of thinking about this area, so it was good because it came out quite an interesting study. So what he thought was, okay, you know how students get, when you go to school, when you go to university lectures and that, you get notes on a sheet of paper, right? And within these notes, obviously the font is very easy to read. So it's an easy to read font, which makes it very clear and you can read through it, skim over it very quickly and understand the information, supposedly, right? So what he thought is, what if we change the fonts? What if we give them more difficult fonts to read? Will that actually improve learning and recall of whatever they're learning about? And so what he did was he recruited all these teachers from English subjects, physics subjects, chemistry subjects, history subjects, and he asked them, guys, send us your notes. Send us your class notes. We want to take your class notes, and we want to actually change them up. We want to change them up and we want to add different fonts. So we want to change the fonts. So then all these teachers sent them their class notes, emailed them through. They changed the fonts on all these notes. They put them through the magic funky font machine and then they sent them right back to the teachers. And the teachers divided their students up into groups. So they divide them up into a control group and they divide them up into an experimental group. The control group received the standard typical notes, while this experimental group received the funky fonts. There were 222 students involved in the study for a period of about 1 month. What the researchers discovered afterward was that students reviewing the class notes using funky fonts performed significantly better on tests.
Mm-hmm.
That is really strange. They just because the fonts were changed, they actually performed better on tests because of the actual fonts. And so what they figured out was happening was that the actual students who were reading the material, it was more difficult for them to read. So they had to focus. They had to concentrate on reading these fonts and
be more active, engaged.
They were more engaged, exactly. Mm-hmm. And as a result, their learning improved. And the same thing with doodling. Like when we doodle, we don't just draw pictures. We write and we create different sort of fonts that help us to remember certain key words more effectively. And same thing with mind mapping. When you draw a mind map, you can make a certain word stand out a little bit more. And that helps you to remember and recall that information far more effectively. So yeah, that's it. So that's the three key studies that kind of support everything that we've been discussing here so far.
Yes, and you see, and I think what we are missing out today is because we are engaging so much the technology and pushing the technology, and we are totally kind of putting on the side the creative aspect of the human brain. And I think that is what makes the children boring, and they are just kind of not interested in learning.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing. I think we've got to just engage students more effectively in the learning process, and it all begins stimulating their imagination. Like within the science doodle study, that's what it did. That the students, the imagination, because they were tasked to actually visualize what they were learning, and they'd never learned that way before. Maybe they did do that like when they were like 5 years old, but I think a lot of people, like I think all of us, have probably doodled and drawn when we were very, very young, but we kind of grow out of it and we kind of think, oh, it's kind of not not what adults or not what teenagers are supposed to do and that. And we kind of grow out of that. But the fact is, a lot of people these days are starting to come back into this doodling mode. They're starting to find that childlike curiosity, that childlike nature with themselves when they doodle. And I find that a lot through the people that actually go through that course. I've had people go through the 40-day doodle course, from the youngest from age 5 to the oldest to probably in their 80s, I would say. And they each tell me just like how fantastic it is, just especially the kind of the people who've had, who maybe haven't doodled for a long time. They tell me how wonderful it is to sort of learn this skill that they thought they never actually had, because just the concepts are just so easy. And if you work through them step by step, you can doodle pretty much anything your heart wants. And it's just an amazing sort of process to work through step by step like that.
And absolutely. And you know what is also amazing to me is bring back the playfulness.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's all about playing with, and I think that's what learning is about. Like when we learn most effectively, we play with what we are learning, and that helps us to stay engaged. Like when I was, I guess, at university, another thing I sort of did was I tried to mix up the way I was learning information, and so visualize it. I would read it. I would create a mind map of it. I would also record my notes, my understanding of the notes. So I would actually read the mind map that was in front of me. I would record my notes, and then I would listen back to it before I went to bed or while I was driving in my car. And that helped me learn in another way. So that helped me become sort of engage my auditory sort of senses. And that is beneficial as well. And I think the more ways we can find to learn information, the more ways we can find to sort of play it, sort of turn it into a game, into an incredible sort of experience. Because I think a lot of people kind of approach learning and they're saying, oh, I don't want to learn this. I mean, I know I need to learn this, but I don't really want to learn this. So they kind of approach it with an attitude that's kind of feels very kind of disheartened about what they're about to go through, and that doesn't engage the brain. That definitely doesn't engage.
Exactly, it becomes a chore.
Exactly, that's the word I'm looking for. A chore. It becomes a chore, but yes, make it a game. A game isn't a chore, right? A game isn't a chore. It's fun activity that we enjoy, that everyone enjoys. The kids enjoy, adults enjoy, everyone enjoys.
Absolutely. You know, when I actually signed up for this 40-day class, what you are having, and when I started to kind of, you know, go for those signs and language, and it's like, it became shocking to my brain, because all of a sudden I had to kind of let go of this, you know, being perfect and, you know, blah, 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 and I had to go into the playfulness. And I have to tell you, I had to unlearn to go into the playfulness.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of us come with kind of these ideas that drawing, when you think of drawing, artists draw.
The reason why, because I didn't do it for a long time.
Yeah. And I mean, artists, if we see, I think a lot of people come into it thinking that they have to be artists. They have to be artistic. Artists draw, and they have to look at all these details. They have to, you know, shade in different areas. They have to make sure they explore everything. It has to look perfect like real life. But a doodle doesn't have to look like real life. You can use a few simple shapes to create a dog. You can use a few simple shapes to draw a car or to doodle a car. And it takes literally, I mean, I think Sunny Brown, who's one of the big proponents of visual thinking, she says that she can doodle anything that you ask her to doodle within, I think she says, 5 seconds. You ask me anything, and she does this in her workshops. She does this in her workshop. So you ask me to doodle anything, and she asks people in her workshops, okay, ask me, what do you want me to doodle? A bear? Okay, here's a bear. 5 seconds, you know, she does it. But it's not like a artistic bear. It's a very easy to sort
playful.
Of doodle bear. Yeah, with using simple shapes. So she might use, to create that bear, she might have used like 5 simple shapes to draw that bear. And that's the most amazing thing about doodling, is that we can all express ourselves visually. We can all express these ideas. And I mean, isn't that what kids do? When you see
exactly,
little kids
exactly.
drawing,
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
they don't draw anything complex. They use simple shapes to represent ideas, and that engages the brain. And that's why kids maybe learn so quickly, because they're so engaged in the process of learning. Their learning for them is fun at that age. Later on, learning becomes, like you mentioned, learning becomes a chore.
Sure.
And therefore,
mm-hmm.
and therefore we're kind of very disheartened when we sort of approach it in that way. So, yeah.
You know, Adam, I see this a lot of time, you know, for my clients when they have to kind of, you know, they go and, you know, work out or do yoga or do this and that. And I said, you know, how many times do you do? Well, 5 days a week, or, you know, 3 times a week. And for how long? For 45 minutes or hour, 2 hours. I said, listen, that's chore. That's a second job.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think so. I mean, anything that we do regularly, I think we have to really turn it into a pleasurable sort of experience.
Joy, yes.
Otherwise,
absolutely.
It does become a chore. Yeah, it does become a chore, no doubt.
So, well, yeah, this is why I'm saying this is what is so fascinating to me. Anyway, Adam, I would absolutely love you if you can actually tell us a little more about the Mastermind Matrix. I saw the video and I went through it, and it's just like, it's amazing. And I would absolutely love if you can, you know, help to share with our listeners.
Well, that's I think for me the Mastermind Matrix has been probably the biggest challenge.
It tells the entire story. It's a huge story. It's beautiful.
It's the biggest challenge that I've ever sort of development challenge for me, and trying to understand, I guess my journey towards creating this chart. I mean, the Mastermind Matrix for those listening is like a gigantic chart that sort of combines all the maps that I've created into one chart that explains how we do what we do and why we do those sorts of things. So it's kind of like examines our behavior in different sort of situations. And it's kind of been a journey for me sort of creating this chart. And it started out years ago, even before I got into life coaching. And when I was doing a lot of reading, I read a lot of personal development books, and I was an avid note taker back then. I would just take notes, not mind maps. I would just take notes. So like linear notes, I would just kind of.
So like practically it's all putting all the puzzles together.
Absolutely. I was just perplexed. I needed to understand how things worked. I needed to understand why certain people were talking about this in their books, and other people were talking about this in their books. And then I was trying to say, well, how does this fit to this? And sometimes I didn't see how those sort of pieces fit together, and I was kind of confused. And I needed to understand this. I was determined that I needed to understand this, and I needed to visualize something on paper, because I could not understand. Like we were talking about before, how everything was in my head, and mm-hmm. in my head it was all jumbled. I could not make sense of the information. So unless I actually pulled it out of my head and put it down on paper in a visual way, that's when I started to sort of make sense of everything. And so I started to visualize my understanding of all these topics, of everything these self-improvement gurus and everything that they were talking about in their books, in their seminars, and in their videos and everything like that. So I started to put it down. And then obviously during that time, my life coaching experience sort of came into it, and I did my life coaching, and I integrated aspects of that into this big chart as well. And it sort of kind of started to grow over several years. And I spent nights and I spent long days on it trying to figure things out. And I had various versions of the charts that I never actually released to the public. So they were all kind of just for me, just to sort of understand the sort of process. And it did sort of evolve. And today that chart is kind of integrates all the maps that I've sort of created. So all the IQ matrix maps that I have actually formed, all of them are integrated into the chart in a ways that they are sort of different maps are kind of, okay, well, let me explain. Okay, I'll just backtrack a little bit. So the chart sort of examines our behavior. So it takes us through a process of why we do what we do and how we can modify and change certain things in our lives and in our behavior, such as our beliefs, our values, self-concept, and all these things. And for instance, language, it takes us through a path. So you're going through a path. So it's like a flow chart as such. So you're going through a flow chart. And when you get to certain sections, say you get to the beliefs section, and you feel that, okay, I have some limiting beliefs that I need to work through. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm not able to achieve my goal. I can't get through my goal because the chart is indicating, okay, I've got limiting beliefs in this area, so therefore I cannot get to my end goal. So then what I do is I pull out the IQ matrix, which is about limiting beliefs. And then I work through that IQ matrix, which is like a separate map, a mind map. It's the mind maps that sort of I develop. And they're sort of like an A4 size sheet of paper sort of map. So they go into those details. So I'll work through that map. And then I have an understanding of that part of the mastermind matrix section. So then I can move on and I can move on to emotions. And okay, if I'm struggling, maybe I'm not achieving my goal. So I've got all these goals and objectives, but maybe I'm not achieving my goal because I'm struggling emotionally. Maybe I'm struggling with too much frustration. I'm frustrated. So what can I do to work through my frustrations? So now I pull out the frustration IQ matrix, and then that IQ matrix kind of walks me through of how I can work through my frustrations and what that all means for me. And then obviously the map, the mastermind matrix, is divided up into different sections. So, and it all sort of follows a path, and that it's interconnected with how we think, with the brain, with, I've tried to interconnect it with spirituality, with energy, with the metaphysical world. I've tried to connect just about every single aspect of human nature, of what we understand about life, about circumstances, even about the universe. I mean, I've touched upon different sort of ideas about scientific sort of areas within this chart as well. It's not that I'm an expert in those areas. I just read a little bit about that information and try to fit it into that sort of bigger picture, because that's not the main focus.
But it's important, you know, that's what was so fascinating for me, Adam, because it's important, because all these aspects are impacting us. And also what I also wanted to add, that it shows you unconscious, conscious, and subconscious patterns and beliefs also, what I would like to add to that. It's hugely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a good point, because a part of the chart is actually, or everything happens on the subconscious level. So a part of it, mm-hmm. everything on our subconscious level, so that's behind the scenes. So everything that's happening inside our heads, in the brain, is happening at the subconscious. So we're actually programming ourselves every single day on a subconscious level, and we're not even aware of it. And the thing is, if we can work on those areas and we can work on tweaking them, modifying a few things and that, then all the things that we do on a conscious level, all the results, all the actions, all the decisions we make will change, because we normally operate on autopilot. We do certain things without even thinking about why we are doing them. We have certain fears. We don't even know why we have these fears. But when we start to tweak these subconscious areas, we start to, first of all, obviously become aware of them. But then we start to tweak and we work through the mastermind matrix, we work through each individual IQ matrix map. And then what happens is then we can start to change how we perceive ourselves, then how we perceive the world around us, how we perceive other people. And then that changes our approach to life, our approach, our decision making. And when our decisions change, our actions change, and when our actions change, our results change, and then we can start to move through that sort of cycle and towards helping us improve various aspects of our lives.
And you know what is interesting? I think most of the time people are even not aware, and when you see that chart in front of you, you become so amazed. You can see it, actually. It's not look like we were talking about. It's not in your head anymore. You see it, and you're becoming totally conscious what's really going on.
Yeah, it's like the bigger picture sort of concept, mm-hmm. that we were discussing before, how a mind map provides you with a big overview, a big picture overview of the topic. And this is what this chart does. And that was my whole my whole I guess purpose to developing this is I had no idea. I was literally lost. I had no idea how everything interconnects, everything I was reading in all these hundreds of books that I had read, the seminars that I had attended. I mean, I had bits and pieces of understanding, but I wanted to know, how does this connect to that? And no one had explained it to me, how this is connected to that. Yeah, you talk about limiting beliefs. Yeah, you talk about fears. You talk about what a self-ideal is.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? And how does each idea connect to another idea? And how can we use these different sections and ideas to help us to improve certain areas of our lives? And I guess that's the greatest thing about the chart is that whenever you're reading a book now, if you have this chart on your wall, you're reading a book, they talk about something, you can just refer to the chart and you can say, oh, okay, here, this
now
is
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. This section is here. This is relevant. Okay, now I understand how this interconnects to him. Or maybe I should read more about this related topic next to it. And that could help me a little bit more. So it's just a process that kind of helps to give you a big picture overview of everything that you are learning and that you are doing. It's kind of like a self-development sort of self-development improvement chart that you can use constantly to sort of to help keep you on track.
Monitoring your life. Yourself, Adam.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Monitoring your progress. Monitoring. Yeah.
Exactly. Listen, we still have only 5 more minutes left. Listen, I would really like you to let our listener know about your websites and how they can get in connection with you. And also, please feel free to let them know about the 40 days, free doodle program what you have, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's start with that. As mentioned before, I've created a 40-day doodle course. It's absolutely free. Yes, I know a lot of people say, you created this course for free. It's free. There's no paid. Some people will think, where do I pay? Well, it's available absolutely free. Go over there now. You can go to iqdoodle.com and you'll find a link there to the course. Or if you want to go directly to the course page where you can sign up and register, you go to course, course.iqdoodle.com. And that will take you directly to the course registration page, so you can register. And I believe that link will be on the
page. It's on the website anyway, yes.
Yeah. So go over there, go through the course, and even if you do not participate in the course, just going through it, seeing what other people are doing, hopefully that will help, sort of motivate you and inspire you to sort of begin that journey through visual thinking. And then there's obviously the other main website that I have is IQ Matrix. So IQ and Matrix, like the movie Matrix, matrix.com. And that's the home of the 300 self-growth mind maps, and the Mastermind Matrix chart is on there as well. So that's that. I also have, there's other... What other websites do I have that could
visual
be
Visual Thinking Magic. We didn't have the time about that to talk.
Yeah, we didn't have. Visual Thinking Magic was kind of like an experiment for me. If you go to visualthinkingmagic.com, it's kind of like an evolving experiment. I haven't been able to sort of finalize. It's kind of, it talks about all about visual thinking and how you can sort of use it and sort of apply it into your life. And so that's that. There's also, if you want to know more about the Mastermind Matrix, then mastermindmatrix.com is probably the place to go for that one. And that's so. And I'm also on social media. You can look up IQ Matrix, type in IQ Matrix to Google. You'll find us through all these social media, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Google+, you name it. I'm probably there. So all good.
Okay, you have 60 seconds for give us a final thought.
Well, final thoughts, I guess for me is to give visual thinking a try. And I know some people might be a little bit reserved. They don't want to take that plunge, but take the plunge. Give it a try. Test it out for yourself. And see how it sort of works for you and works in your life. You've got nothing to lose. And starting with the 40-day doodle course is probably the best way to sort of get yourself involved in that. And just to see what other people are doing and all the comments that people are sharing about that. I hope that can help get you inspired to start doodling and start moving towards that direction.
Great information, Adam. I look like I said, I'm just enjoying so much, everything what you do. And actually look like I said already that I already signed up for the course, and I actually get one of your program for the life coaching. So, and I am very much interested for the next one about this matrix, the version 3.0, you know, because I look like I said, I'm fascinated the way you are putting everything together. And folks, he has such a huge amount of information, you can get lost. So you can read forever and ever. And Adam, this is pretty amazing, you know, what you do. And what was actually in the beginning, actually heart touching, that you are sharing so much information that for people and giving free stuff out. It's just amazing. So I wanted to thank you for that. And, you know, all the information, what you're doing, is just pretty amazing. And I hope that whole information was beneficial for you folks. And if you have any question for Adam, you can find on his, radio show page here. And just let him know. And actually, you know, you can connect with him on the social media. So, Adam, thank you so much for taking, you know, to be a guest on my show. And maybe sooner or later, maybe we will listen again or hear something from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you for listening. Thank you for having me. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much, Adam. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Everybody.
Bye-bye, Magdalena.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye.